We've been sharing about praying in tongues, this powerful tool that's given to every believer, to the whole church, that's designed to help the church to grow, to mature in knowledge and wisdom and revelation, to help you to overcome the pray the perfect will of God. It's an amazing tool that every believer should be practicing. Religion has done a wonderful job to make it somewhat irrelevant for the modern church. But I think if God's inserted this into the church, then it should stick around and stay. And we should be taking advantage of it and walking in this tool of praying in tongues. We're really getting into the point of why it's so important to pray in tongues. And it has to do with the word edification. Edification is a very practical word. It's different than encouragement, motivation. Those are important words too, but they're not the same. Encouragement is saying, hey, don't give up. Keep going. You're doing great. But edification is building blocks. It's actually, you're building an edifice. You're building a building. If I had a plot of land by the highway and someone gave it to me and I lived out there in a tent with my family and you drove by and there I was in the summer sweating, in the winter freezing, in the rain hiding under the tent getting wet, and you drove by every day and you yelled out from your car, hey, Alan, don't give up, brother. You can make it. You're doing good. Well, that's encouragement. That may encourage me to, you know, keep fighting the good fight. But if you drove by every day and dropped off a brick, just one brick every day, and I took that brick and I put it in the ground, and the next day you gave me another brick and I put it in the ground, well, after a while, I'd have the walls of a house built on the bricks that you gave me. See, that's edification. Edification is a brick that you can build with. And so when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's very important that we understand what he's saying here. Chapter 14, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So if you want to build up the truth of Christ in you to edify yourself, praying in tongues is your best tool. It's not the only tool, but it's the best tool. It edifies yourself. You're building Christ in you. It's different than encouragement. Many churches today in the modern church are doing a great job encouraging people. Hey, God loves you. Don't give up on heaven. Keep pressing towards holiness. Be helpful in the kingdom. God has something for you. A lot of prophecies, a lot of teaching, a lot of ministry is encouragement, and that's important, and it's motivational, you know, which is important, but edification is much more important because that builds something. You're not staying the same. One of the reasons why the church world hasn't really changed in 100 years is because we focus too much on, I believe we focus too much on encouragement and learning how to serve God through our carnal man. And that's really the point of edification, of praying in tongues, is it edifies your inner man. When you pray in tongues, your inner man is built up, spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit deals with your spiritual being that was born of God. But your outward man was left alone until the trumpet sounds. You're going to have to deal with this outward carnal being, this outward man that was not saved, that has desires for lust, desires for selfishness. It can dress religiously, but it's carnal. And when the trumpet sounds, we won't have to deal with it anymore. But the best way now is to build up the inner man so you can mortify the outward man. So in verse 4, he says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, that is so important for every believer. It's like sitting down with a five-year-old when we first had Harrison. We kept him with us. He was our firstborn. Ava came along 3 years later. And we made a point for me as the father not to leave and travel without them because I was a traveling minister So we packed the kids in the back of a car. Poor Harrison spent most of his first years in the back seat of a car, and by law you have to turn them, their seats facing the back window in their little carrier. And so we had to work on trying to entertain him and talk to him. He's visited, you know, before he was five, many states, probably 40 states, a couple, three different countries. And so he lived his early years traveling with me and his mom. And Ava came along too when she was born. We just packed him in and off we went to different countries and different churches. We slept in sometimes hotel rooms, sometimes people's houses. When they're little, you learn how to make little bedrooms for them. We use closets and all kinds of little cubby holes for their bedrooms at night because they don't know the difference. One time we stayed at one couple's house, pastors, friends of mine, they had us come speak, and we pull up in our car and pull into their spare bedroom, and there's me, Christy, and Harrison, who's rambunctious. And it was the wrong house to try to keep a kid in because they didn't have kids. They were a little older. They never had kids. And so the house had a old dog who was like their kid and all kinds of like special souvenirs, special little ceramic dolls. So the whole time we were there, all I heard was, Harrison, put that down. Harrison, leave the dog alone. Harrison, quit. Don't break that. Don't throw that. And we drove that poor family crazy, pastor and his wife, because we had a toddler in their house. We learned try not to stay at people's houses who aren't used to kids. When you have kids, you don't mind them breaking things. You don't have the nice furniture out because you know they're going to put stains on it. And never buy furniture before you have kids that you want to keep forever because kids will be kids. We want our kids to be kids. Well, they stayed with us, Harrison and Ava, and traveled with us. But it came to the point where they needed edification. They needed an education. They needed to grow in knowledge. And Christy and I both knew we were not home parents that were good at being homeschooling parents. We knew there are some people who are really good at it, they're very skilled at it. Because when you homeschool, it means that you have to be a principal, you have to be a teacher. You have to kind of have things in order, otherwise you can really mess up your kids. Some of the smartest, most behaved, wonderful children are homeschool kids, but also some of the most confused are homeschool kids because just homeschooling a kid means you have to really put that effort in and be have the personality for it. Well, Christy and I knew that that wasn't us, that we would probably mess our kids up. So we had to talk to Harrison. Hey, it's time for you to go to school to get an education, to learn. Well, see, education is kind of an edification. Education is edifying yourself with building blocks of truth. Now, the Holy Spirit edifies you different than going to university. Going to university is a natural man edification. The Holy Spirit doesn't deal with you in the natural. That's why it says when you pray in tongues, I'll read it to you, chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That means that your natural brain is left out of the edification when you pray in tongues, because he prays through your spiritual man. And that spiritual mind is where the edification comes and you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so when we had to sit down with Harrison and say, you're at the age now, it's time for you to grow in knowledge so you don't remain immature in knowledge. Well, I wish we could shout from a bullhorn to the church world. Church world, it's time to grow up in the knowledge of God. And to spend time with the teacher to help you to grow up in the knowledge of God. The teacher is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that Jesus passed the torch to and said, he will be your teacher. He is called the Spirit of Truth. He is the teacher. And how much time has the church world as a whole spent with the teacher? See, if he's the teacher, then every pastor leader is an assistant to the teacher. In other words, their job isn't to teach you what they know. Their job is to teach you what they've learned from the Holy Spirit. And if your teachers are not sitting down with the main teacher, what are they teaching us? How much false, powerless doctrine has been taught theology in the church world today for centuries because the Holy Spirit was taken out as being the teacher to the body of Christ. See, that's the power of you edifying yourself by praying in tongues, is that the main teacher is happy to sit down with you and teach you as much as you want. How many hours do you want to spend with him? He'll spend all that time with you happily. And because he's God, he can spend it with you and he can spend it with me as much as we want. I remember Pastor Dave would say, you can have as much of God as you want. How incredible is it that me can spend time with the teacher of teachers, the author of all wisdom of God, and teach me? See, what happens to many of us tongue-talking people, that's why I say, don't listen to people who don't believe in praying in tongues to tell you about praying in tongues. They've already rejected the main teacher. They're already, I don't want to be mean, but they're missing out. And they want to advise you about God, about wisdom, about truth. And so when you have the teacher teach you, here's what happens. It says he speaks to your spirit, man. It's your spirit that prays. Your understanding is unfruitful. So you have in your natural brain the ability to analyze, to put together puzzles and make things fit. And so your natural brain will try to do that with the Word of God. But when you're born again, you've also received a spiritual mind in your inner man. That's birth of God. And that's why it says the Spirit prays, because it's your inner man that prays, not your outward man. He's speaking to your inner man. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it talks about this inner man and your new nature. And I'll just read verse 13. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So Paul is saying we teach the things not that man teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, spiritual, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So there is doctrine about God, about even you as a believer, as a child of God, that has been introduced into the world from the Holy Spirit as he has taught Paul and will teach you. And he will compare spiritual things to spiritual. He teaches your spiritual man. So you pray in tongues, and all of a sudden, your inner man starts to build up in the knowledge. Your spiritual mind is where the edification takes place, not your natural mind. So you go and you edify your spiritual mind by praying in tongues. That means that truth from God is downloaded from his mind to your mind, your spiritual mind. Your natural mind is unfruitful. It has no idea what was taught or what is growing on the inward man. And as the truth of God, the real you, begins to rise up, you begin to notice a comparison of what the Holy Spirit taught you in your spiritual mind versus what you've learned in your natural mind. Maybe the way you think about God. I remember being a young boy, not raised in church. I didn't know anything about David and Goliath, or never went to church. And one of my neighbors, his name was Warren Azachuk, took me to church when I was probably 7 or 8. And I went to church. And I remember I was We were singing a Christian song, and I introduced, while in between the lines, some of the, you know, maybe I was nervous, but, you know, some good old AC/DC rock and roll into the choir song. And I don't know if it was Warren or someone there is like, hey, you got to be careful. God will get mad at you. You know, well, I'm 8 years old taking advice from an 8 year old about God. Well, I took it seriously. I thought I made God mad at me for goofing around. It took me, you know, years to figure out that God wasn't mad at me. Your natural man has no idea about spiritual things, so it can believe all kinds of things. Just think about some of the spiritual religious people out in YouTube land, and some of the things they talk about, they see, they experience, and you realize how the outward man can get really flighty, really wrong about God. Well, when you pray in tongues, the inner man is edified and built with the knowledge that came from the Holy Spirit, spiritual to spiritual. And as that knowledge rises up, it's like it knocks on the door of the misknowledge, the misunderstanding in the natural man. And the natural man, if even with a sincere heart, you do your best to understand the Bible, but it can't, because the Bible, the New Testament especially, is written to the spiritual beings, the born-again children of God. That's why the disciples, before they were saved, couldn't really comprehend what Jesus was saying to them. And he had to teach them in a way that the Holy Spirit could reteach them after they were born again. Because after they were born again, they now had a spiritual being that was alive. Before they were saved, they were just carnal like everyone else. So when you were born again, your inner man came to life. Now it is hungering for knowledge. But your inner man came to life like a newborn baby. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2, one of my favorite verses. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I want you to read this carefully. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So when you're born again, you are like a newborn baby. That's who you are in the spirit. That means you won't look like a newborn baby, but you have the knowledge of a newborn baby. Well, what happened to all the knowledge that used to be there? Well, it was wiped out and rebooted and quickened into a new inner man. Now you have a nature that is complete, but your inner man is blank in knowledge and blank in emotions, but it has the capacity to grow and develop and mature in knowledge of spiritual knowledge and in spiritual emotions. That's why it calls it the fruit. Love is an emotion. Joy is an emotion. Peace is an emotion. That is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the new nature, means that as you grow that new nature forward, as it comes forward and grows because you spent time seeking God, praying in tongues, worshiping God, meditating the Word, then the actual emotion of love that Christ had, agape love that doesn't exist on this earth, the joy that doesn't exist on this earth, is built in you, and it comes forward like fruit. Fruit only comes on a mature tree. Those are the emotions of your inner man. And also your inner man will build in the knowledge of God, and it will grow and mature. And that's why he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And when you understand this picture, that every person, the moment they're born again, their inner man's like a newborn baby. And if they leave it alone, they don't do spiritual things. When I say spiritual things, I'm not talking about spiritual experiences. Getting under the glory cloud or running under the glory tent. And I mean, there's so many ideas of how to experience God out there. I'm not talking about get under the anointing. I'm talking about edification. If you don't edify that spiritual being, that inner man, it will only remain like a baby, like a little newborn baby. A newborn baby is helpless. They can't do anything. A newborn baby must grow before it can really accomplish anything. And this is where I get frustrated with a lot of the talk of the church world, where they say, look, you're complete in Christ. All you have to do is surrender to God, obey God, listen to God, and let Him work through you. Alan, quit telling people they need to pray in tongues so much. Just yield over to, I just identify with who I am, and I yield over with my spiritual man. Well, that's a great start. I think that's wonderful. But you understand, your spiritual man is like a little baby. It can't do anything yet, because you have to let it grow. It's more important that you edify that little baby than just encourage it. You must edify it. You must feed it. And that's the picture here. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And I used to think of this verse like a good old Canadian mountain boy. And that's where we would go get our milk from the neighbor. And it was right from the cow, unpasteurized raw milk. And it came in a big jug, glass jug, I remember. And we'd have to put the lid on and shake it, because all the fat would be on the top. And you have to shake it up, and then you'd pour your drink. It was always great, always cold glass milk, good for your bones, good calcium, they would tell us. That's not the picture here of a good old Canadian cold glass of cow's milk. The picture here is a newborn baby. When a newborn baby drinks milk, where does that baby get its milk from? That little newborn baby gets its milk from its mother. It nurses. And that's a picture here. This is a picture of praying in tongues. I'll prove it to you in a little bit. This is a picture of a newborn baby nursing from its mother, getting all the nutrients. And those little babies, I mean, they double in size after just a short time. It's amazing how powerful that mother's milk is. Plus, it's full of healthy things. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit. I'm not calling Him a mother, but I am saying the same way a mother nurses a newborn baby, the Holy Spirit wants to nurse newborn Christians, and we're with the milk so they can grow and mature, so eventually they can do things for God. But we have so many churches today. Now you're saved, go out and win the world. Let's build the church. And some of that's good. I want to be careful, because I think all of it's good. But if you're not careful, you'll spend your whole life in that carnal tree of ministry of serving God through your outward man, through your outward effort, through the gathering as many people to accomplish something they can. They'll never reach the impossible. That's why we don't have a revival. We've gone decades and decades without really having something moving as a church world. It's because the enemy's tricked us into being carnal Christians, serving God through our carnal man, leaving our newborn baby, new nature, and our inner man like newborn babies, and unable to perform a task that God needs done, because we've neglected the inner man. We've neglected the growing of the inner man. I've had many mostly young guys who learn from other people. Hey, Alan, I found another preacher. I like him better than you. Thank you for your time helping me, but I've wasted all this time praying in tongues. I found out that I'm already complete. I just have to think differently. The only reason I'm acting in sin or not healed is because I just don't think right, and I just need to accept who I am. And they're missing the point that praying in tongues edifies, builds, matures that inner man. And a lot of people, I'm going off on a rant here, but a lot of people have learned, well, I just need to learn to hear in the Spirit. And so they focus on just trying to hear in the spirit realm about who I need to tell what to. And they get good at that. But see, even a one-year-old child can hear and understand the voice of his parents. Harrison, at 1 year old, couldn't do anything much. Just looked cute, and he fought us in everything we did with that boy from birth, even before birth. He fought. If you want to change a diaper, dress him, do anything, fight, I want to do by myself. Well, even a one-year-old baby can understand no, can understand yes, can understand I love you, and oh, you're so cute. they can understand the voice of the parent. And so hearing God is a good goal for everyone. We want that. But that should not be the mission. I can hear God now. I can tell people who need help. I'm good. Well, that still can thrive in immaturity. We're talking about the necessity of edification. Why am I pushing this so hard? Because you and I are seeking for revival. Well, the revival is not going to be found. So many people I know take this message of praying in tongues, this spiritual walk of praying in tongues, and they try to cram it into the message of the carnal tree of ministry, how to believe God and go get things done. And eventually, you start to have a struggle with the carnal tree of ministry. And many tongue-talking people who do it on a regular basis, who believe in it, end up fighting first within their own self, that religion, and then they begin to not fit into other crowds because the Holy Spirit is teaching you something different than what a carnal tree has learned, a carnal tree church has learned. And you're not going to fit because he has a different path for you. And God will still work through the carnal tree of ministry. So we don't want to try to discourage them. But if someone's hungry to pray in tongues, yes, we want to encourage them to go spend time with the edifier, the Holy Spirit, by praying in tongues. You're actually building Christ in you. Now, let's look here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. I didn't want to leave Harrison in first grade without a teacher, without education. He needed to go to first grade, second grade. Now he's in college. Very proud of him. Ava, we're very proud of her. Well, there is also a edification for the spirit man. And that is how we renew our spiritual mind, by filling it with truth that only comes from God. Your spiritual man only wants things, only hunger for things that come from God. His thoughts, his emotions, his will for your life. So back over to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So in a group of people, praying in tongues does not edify people around you. But what he is saying here, I believe, is that the ability to prophesy, to speak into other people's life, to edify them, means that he wants you to edify them with edification you got from him. Not your opinion, not your idea, not your theology, but only stuff that came from him. If you're trying to be a preacher and you don't have much of him in you that he taught you, you're going to struggle your whole life for God to use you. God, why don't you use me? I love you. I'm passionate about you. I'll serve you. Well, he wants to win the world with what he teaches, not our actions or what we do in the name of God. I remember, and I told you the story of when I was asked to go do television across Canada and into other nations. I was excited because I thought God was promoting my faithfulness. God, I've been faithful in little, and now you're promoting me. Praise God. You see my love for you, my passion for you. And he was very clear with me. No, I'm not promoting you. There's enough truth in you, my truth in you, and I want to get that truth to many people. See, that's the point of ministry. If you want to walk in the Spirit, and the tree, the ministry, I call the fruit tree of ministry of the walk of the Spirit, is different than the carnal tree of ministry, because the carnal tree of ministry is not fruit. It has the gifts. But the fruit tree of ministry means how much of Christ has been edified into me, how much of Christ's love, wisdom, holiness has been edified into my life on the inside. That's what God wants to bring to other people. Not you or me, but Christ in us that has been developed and grown and matured. And if you want God to use you in your calling, that's the secret. Get more of Christ in you. and you will find that he'll send you all over the place because what's in you is important. The kingdom of God is within us, see? Go to verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6 says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching?" So these are four areas of edification to people outside of you. Revelation, knowledge, prophesying, and teaching. So if we look at these four things just briefly, we'll discover that revelation means something, truth has been revealed, a secret has been revealed to me, that I now have a secret from God. Knowledge is, I have knowledge, I've been edified with knowledge, a truth about God, about the children of God. I have a truth from God. Prophesying is God speaking his mind through you to either edify someone or convict someone or convince someone about God. And teaching is me teaching things I've learned from God. All of these things of ministry to the church world, to people outside of myself, tells us that it must be things that you've got from him. And where do I get those things from him? How do I become edified that I can edify others with that which I've been edified with? You see how silly it is when you look at the modern church, how few people are, they're learning from schools, they're learning from other people. And there's an element of good truth in every church, as long as they preach Jesus for salvation. But there is mixed in it all kinds of man's opinions, man's ideas. Religion has crept into the modern church. Worldliness has crept in. Worldly wisdom of promotion, of success has crept into the modern church so much that it's just become powerless. A whole bunch of people showing up, hugging each other, going home. How are we ever going to dive into the impossible? How are we ever going to see a revival of the impossible if we're just living in the possible realm of the carnal Christianity? These revelation, knowledge, prophesying, teaching, where do I get this information so I can edify others with it? How about we read verse 4 again? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. See, we want to edify ourselves by praying in tongues so that our spiritual man, our spiritual being will grow and develop in the knowledge and the love of Christ. So then that's what God will bring forward in our calling to minister to others, not Alan's effort to do good things in the name of God. Now, for time's sake, let's go down to verse 18 and verse 19. And we'll read from there. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 14. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. So here is the Apostle Paul, the author of most of the New Testament. You think about how he came up with this answers to a lot of problems. He came up with the picture of the church world, how it's supposed to work, how our relationship with God is supposed to develop. Here is a man who God used in great revelation and teaching and in power. And look what he says. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. That might be a clue that he didn't get his revelation from his early education as a Pharisee. He called his early education as a Pharisee dung. He got his education, his renewing of his spiritual man came. Here he tells us, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. And then he says this, verse 19. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So I'd rather teach 5 words of understanding. Now, if we look at that verse with verse 6, which says, Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So he is saying, I believe, that the tongues is what gave him his time praying in tongues, is what gave him the revelation, the knowledge, the teaching, the ability to prophesy purely to feed other people. And then down in verse 19, or verse 18 and 19, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. And I'm going to agree with Pastor Dave. He brought forward an idea that the fruit of 10,000 tongues words is 5 pure words of understanding of heavenly truth that will bring forward the fruit of understanding. In other words, if I pray in tongues 10,000 words, it will produce 5 words that I can give to someone of pure truth that came from that edifying. I'm edifying with 5 words of understanding because I edified myself with 10,000 words of tongues. Now, he calculated, I think, I can't remember what he said, but he calculated how long it would take him to pray 10,000 words in tongues. I can't remember what he said off the top of my head, but I'll look it up. But if you just look at, I think the average person, probably a woman probably talks more than a man, but per hour. But an average hour of speaking is between 5,000 and 7,000 words. So if I just take that equation, 5,000 words per hour of praying in tongues, 2 hours of praying in tongues produces 5 words of understanding. Now, that may seem a lot, like, wow, that's a lot to get 5 words. I mean, in this hour, I've talked for more than 5 words. But see, the 5 words of understanding is an edification. It's a building block. A building block doesn't leave. See, encouragement leaves. If someone just encourages you, then you need them tomorrow to encourage you. Otherwise, you feel discouraged. But if someone only motivates you, you're only motivated when some preacher gets you excited, well, you end up needing motivation tomorrow. But edification is a building block of truth. It doesn't leave you. Once it's in you, it stays with you for all of eternity. And because it's a truth that came from God's mind, that one building block of truth, a billion years from now, will still be truth. No matter how you inspect it, how you look at it, where you fit it in, that truth will always remain a truth because it came from God. And God's word are unbreakable. They're good above, I mean, they are above everything. His word is truth. So if I get 5 words for praying in tongues for 2 hours, those 5 words of understanding will be good for the rest of eternity. So if I pray 2 hours or 10 hours, I've got 50 words. Well, then I begin to have a library of truth in me, of edification, that the Holy Spirit can use to minister to other people. Look at verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. So he says, don't remain children, immature in understanding. However, in malice be babes. So in your meanness, stay like babies. But in understanding, be mature. So here's the mission that we're going to read real quick because I'm taking too long here. Verse 18. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the church I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words of tongues. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Don't stay as children, because they were acting as children in the gifts. They were acting like children. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. So he says, be mature in understanding. And then he says this amazing quote out of Isaiah. He quotes the Old Testament. Look here. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all of that they will not hear me. So he pulls this verse out of Isaiah, verse 28, and he includes it into the picture of praying in tongues and gaining understanding. If you want to gain truth of God, it's okay to learn it from other people if what they're saying came from God. It's quite shocking to me how much teaching out there and revelation out there didn't come from the Holy Spirit. So we're going to close by looking in Isaiah 28, and we'll look at the verse that he quoted here. Paul inserted this verse into the chapter about praying in tongues and about gaining an understanding, about edifying yourself. Look here, we'll start in verse 9. I love verse 9 because it is lined up with 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 about newborn babies, talking about praying in tongues. Look here, verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? So there's that picture of a newborn baby nursing. And then he says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. That's why I no longer try to apologize, or I try to apologize less for teaching precept upon precept slowly, because that's how we grow in knowledge. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little, there little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people. That's the verse that he quoted in 1 Corinthians 14 after he said, but in understanding, be mature. If you want to grow up in understanding, it's going to be from praying in tongues, meditating the Word of God. Listen, every church around the world on a Sunday all have different signs, different beliefs. And praise God if they believe in Jesus for salvation, but there's other churches that don't believe that you receive salvation by grace. They think you do it by works. They all use the same Bible. And in most of those churches, you'll hear things like, I only use the Bible. I don't use other books. I just preach out of the Bible. I just use the Word of God. And all that sounds great, but all wrong doctrine came from people using the same Bible that I'm using. See, if I just rely on my own natural understanding to try to interpret the Scripture, I'm going to mess it up. But I have a teacher who will edify me and teach me the truth of what the Scripture means. When I pray in tongues, line upon line, precept upon precept, he is building knowledge in my spiritual man. The reason it doesn't seem to do much is because the spiritual man isn't different than your natural man. You have to let it build up until it's got enough truth in it to confront the untruth, the almost truth of the natural man. That's called a revelation. You now have a truth from the inner man. The outer man does not hold revelation. The outer man can't, because it's of this world. Your understanding can never understand the Holy Spirit, but your spiritual man can be edified to where you can think like Christ, you can feel like Christ, you can walk like Christ. That's God's mission for the church, for you and for me. Let's keep edifying ourselves. Pray in tongues. Don't listen to anyone else who tries to discourage you. If you pray in tongues too much, you get crazy. Yeah, maybe to them you might be crazy, but to God, you're not. To God, you are bringing forth and growing up in truth. We'll talk more about this. I appreciate you being here. God bless you. I'll see you again soon. Amen.